Channel 1 over in continuation of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Saturday after supper, the 24th of February, 73. Channel 1 over in continuation of the visit with Miss Mary and Marvin this Saturday after supper, the 24th of February, 73. Channel 1 over in continuation of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Saturday after supper, the 24th of February, 73.
Even mad, and the vet didn't notify us nor nothing. Why, Miss Mary?
Somebody's one. They just decided to go in there and see what he'd done about the dog.
And we got in there and he had to destroy the dog because the dog was raving mad. And Dr. Strange come out there and give us shots, you know, because we'd been exposed to it. And just 31 days after the dog went mad, the coat went mad.
Why, Miss Mary? I never heard this before.
Now, that was something to see. And Mr. Guthrie went in the backside of the pasture and found a colt with its mother and another horse and drove them to the house. And that colt had holes dug in the field deep enough and big enough to bury a horse. But he carried it and put it in the lot and hit. Just was raving mad, but at just the instant it would know us. We could speak to it and it would look at us. And then it would just go raving mad again, and it didn't last but a few minutes before it died. And he'd catch a hold of its leg and he'd just pull.
Anything that was moving, he'd want to bite it.
And squeal.
He'd look down, seeing she's walking. She could see her front knees are bending. She'd just grab them and bite them. Just eat them. Try to eat her knees.
Oh.
Anything that was moving.
And grab a hold of the fence and just stand there and just bite it. But you know, it never did attempt to bite its mother.
No.
Mm-mm.
And she was in the lot with it.
Oh.
But it and it didn't even bother Mr. Guthrie. Mr. Guthrie drove it from the back side of the field to the house.
Golly, you should have done something to that vet.
Well, it ought to have been something done because we all could have had it. And Marvin was trying to help him with the dog. He told the dog, told him in the first place to put a muzzle on the dog.
Well, see, he was a bulldog. And
the darky that was helping him said, oh, I work with dogs all my life. I know how to handle him. And the dog bit him slap through the hand.
Both of them.
And he put a blood blister on Marvin. But the dog didn't bite me. He just come up to me and took my whole hand in his mouth. And happened I didn't move. If I had, he'd have killed me. He'd have tore me up.
You just let him hold it?
No. When he just walked up, you know, me, I had forgot about the dog. And he took my whole hand. And I said, Spot. And you're ashamed of yourself. And he just went off about his business.
I never knew.
He wasn't in the last stages then, though. He was just beginning to get sure enough mad.
Now, I missed the first of it. That's the dog you all had.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bulldog.
Well, what were you doing with a bulldog?
He died.
What was we doing with a bulldog?
Yeah.
We used to have hogs and used the bulldog for catching hogs and a mean cow, something like that. And he would do it too.
He does.
And you know how he got that rabies?
No.
One evening, I had a little dog named Strongheart that Morris gave to me. Brought him up there and gave him to me. And he was the best little cow dog that ever had walked on 4 feet. And he was lying on the back porch, and it wasn't screened. And one evening, I seen that big red dog coming from towards the highway, and he run jumped the gate, and he jumped on Strongheart. Strongheart was lying on the porch, and when he did, this bulldog, old Spot, went and took it up and jumped on him. And that dog just give old Spot a whipping. and went right on about his business. He didn't even tarry.
He come on towards making up there.
And he was, he was...
He was raving.
Well, he'd already bit a... He'd come from Island Grove. He'd bit a bull over there, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he went mad.
Oh,
he was...
Well, no wonder you were taking... well... Had this pony colt gone mad?
No.
She hadn't gone mad then. It was a month and one day before she went mad. Well, a month.
So you'd already taken your shots by then?
Oh yeah.
And this was that hurricane going on too.
It was right after the hurricane.
Ooh, that was a close call for you.
Well, you can't wait much on getting those shots.
Not supposed to.
And don't never let nobody kid you that it takes 9 days for a dog to anything to go mad. It was 31 days.
You used to say it
after the colt got bit.
If anything
before she went
bites mad. Anything it, within 9 days.
Marvin, it was 33 days.
33 days.
Instead of 31.
But it can go as we know as long as 33 days. We know that. At least I don't say everything, but a horse.
Right.
We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
We know a horse can go 33 days before she goes mad or eat or has a rabies. Maybe a human. Now, you know, I knew a man in Gainesville that got a rabid dog bit, and he went mad. He was a policeman, and his name was Bennett. And he was a big fella. He'd weighed over 250 pounds.
Mm. And once they get it,
and they tell me
new for you.
They tell me it taken, I don't remember how many men to hold him on the bed. And say he would blow foam right up to the top of the ceiling just before he died. It was just that.
Goodness. But on that hurricane, you could take your boat out and catfish.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right in the woods.
Right in the woods.
Paramatters.
Just have an old palm frond hanging in the boat.
And them palmetto patches, that's where them old spots went to bed.
Catfish went.
Oh, yeah.
We had a big time.
Them catfish went up there.
Me and him and Cornell. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
We went all over them woods in a boat.
And catching fish all the way.
Catching fish.
You got a lot?
Yeah, we got a lot of them. Sometimes we didn't catch so many.
Oh, you mean you went out more than once?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought the water was there just
half a day. Oh, no, it stayed there for weeks. See, it had to come all the way down from, it was running from Payne's Prairie, you know, through there, into Orange Lake, and it swelled the woods out. Well, the hurricane put a lot of it on the ground, and then all the way from Gainesville and Lotchaway and up through there it come. And then Noonan's Lake coming up from around Loch Lucy way.
So, you that little
so
bridge,
backed
you know,
it up, backed the water
going
up.
Going towards Gainesville from towards Christmas? I seen the water that run across that.
Oh, heck yeah, I have too.
Just a
I've seen it when you couldn't about get halfway to Fife in an automobile. Water'd be across the road.
Now that was, FDR didn't pave that road, did he?
No.
No, that road was...
He just built it and graded it. Gravel it.
He didn't grab it.
That
it
road
didn't
from
line.
Cross Creek to Fire?
Yeah.
I don't think FDR done that.
Well, it's right in front of your house is what I'm talking about.
No, sir.
No, he didn't have nothing to do with that.
He put the men on the
WPA,
they cut the trees and the right-of-way.
They cut the right-of-way
there.
But the right-of-way was there for years before they...
There was an old road there.
Even there was a grade there.
It
was just they just cut a right of way and you just travel a flat ground. See?
Yeah.
And then eventually they put a grade there.
You know, right there, just before you get to our house, between the pastor and the field. Used to, I seen the time when you couldn't cross that.
Yeah.
Water would be so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Before that grade was put there.
Right across where that slough goes, you know,
mm-hmm.
right there's a cupboard down the road just before you get to the house.
Well, don't you know, we were saying that these presidents, this was talking about President
mm-hmm.
Johnson.
Mm-hmm. President Roosevelt did put the men to work
yeah,
on the WPA, and they cut the trees
mm-hmm.
And dug some stumps.
That was a start.
But then he didn't live to see that road go through there.
You know, we only got, what,
mm-hmm.
one president alive.
That's right. That started to go and then went, didn't
it? It sure did. All together.
Oh, they all gone.
All but one.
Who's that?
Nixon. Yes.
All the ex-presidents.
Yeah.
When is the groceries going to quit going up?
Well, we got to do something to Nixon, haven't we?
What in the world are we going to do to him?
Well, that right away then still had the trees along there in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't too much of a road, was it?
Not too much.
Just a flat
road through there.
And the trees. So you had to have the trees out before you graded, didn't you?
Well, they're taking quite a few trees out. They dug the trees out when they come through there.
But they didn't
the,
grade it.
WPA didn't grade it. They just dug up the trees. They didn't saw them up. They dug them up.
Yeah.
And then, several years later, they come and graded it. But that was after Roosevelt died.
There's a big Indian mound down there at the Burr Pond. And them scapers dug that Indian mound up and put it on that road.
And then they come in and they're taking another 50 feet and graded it and paved it.
Taking another 50 feet?
See, I only had a 50-foot right-of-way. So they're taking another, they got to have 100 foot right away.
Yeah.
They're taking another 50 feet.
Well, now that, so, so when you went anywhere with that old right away, you were kind of in the woods, weren't you?
Well, we didn't have no business. Well, no highway. We didn't have nothing but old mule wagon or horse and buggy.
And it wasn't starved.
That's the truth.
A Model T that wouldn't start?
That's right.
Once in a while.
It would start once in a while. Mr. Guthrie bought it on a Thursday, I believe it was. And Saturday he went out and his big Ike, we was going for a ride. We didn't go for a ride.
We didn't.
The thing wouldn't start. And it was brand new.
Did you twist it?
Yes, we done everything. But I don't remember what they say was wrong, but it's something wrong with the... What was it?
I don't know. There's always something wrong with them 26s.
And Mr. Guthrie got sick there one night, and I had to go down to Mr. Jackson's, down to the old Jackson place. And he had some dogs that would naturally tear you to pieces. And I went down there, and I called him and called him. And he had a hog bin out there in the front and had some hogs in it. And I couldn't get him to hear me, and the dogs was about to eat me up. And I fell over his old milk cow and knocked my toenail off. And I went and got in the hog pen.
You got in the hog pen?
Sure did.
With the hogs.
With the hogs. And I hollered and I finally got him up. And I told him, Well, Mr. Guthrie was about to die, and I had to get somebody to go and help me. And I stood out there, and I cranked on that old Model T till daylight. And my hands were swelled so, till I couldn't shut them, and I couldn't open them. And I finally got somebody to carry Mr. Go get Dr. DePass. Went out to Pfeiffer and got Mr. Cernsey to call Dr. DePass, and Dr. DePass got out there and carried Mr. Guthrie to the hospital. And my hands was just like that, and my fingers swelled till they busted. Oh. And I have seen Marv and Dorothy Townsend, too, go out there and crank on that old car to have a whoa, roar in the ground almost half leg deep.
And bless you in your hand.
And walk off and leave it and just bust it out.
Well, that's all you could do.
And next morning, you go off for a while and come back and pull up on it and say, hey! And go right on.
I used to have a 25 it would start, though.
But the 26s wouldn't start.
It was something
that,
wrong that with
was the meanest thing I ever seen in my life.
I don't know what it was. I just don't know what it was, but it was something wrong with the timing of the firepower.
I seen Mr. Guthrie take his old shoe and cut the tongue out of it and make him a clutch.
Yeah, clutch band.
Band for it and go right on.
Cut my overall strap off.
Clutch, a clutch band, give out. He got him an old piece of tar or something.
Felt hats made good ones. If you
I never heard of that.
The clutch band.
A clutch, you know, you Model T had it had three bands in on the transmission.
Like rubber bands, kind
no,
of like idea.
No, it was steel bands.
But I mean, they looked like they were round, like a rubber band.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
they was round, and on the inside of that steel band, it had a fiber lining in it.
Oh.
And they hooked to each pedal. You know, you had your brake.
Mm-hmm.
Your clutch, that was your low, and then your reverse.
Mm-hmm.
And each one, where you match your clutch, where you put it in low when you matched your clutch, and then you had a lever here on the side you put down that kept you going and high. And then you could let off on your clutch, and it was out of low. So, every once in so often, that clutch would burn up. It was running in oil. And when it would burn up, you could take a leather belt or anything else or a piece of cloth or anything and jug down in there and just keep punching it till it come around that band, and you was in business.
And if one of those things broke down, all you had to do is get you a piece of hay wire.
Yeah, a piece of wire something.
And wire it back together and go on.
Oh, my.
That's right.
You use bale wire for spark plug wire. Yeah.
We need cars like that today.
No,
we
sure don't.
Do.
Why don't we, Miss Mary?
No,
at 21,
had
21 and 28-inch wheels on them. Set up that high up off the ground.
And used to, we'd come across the River Styx, and Mr. Guthrie would get out and stand on the bridge, not on the big bridge, but on the little bridge, to keep it from floating out from under me. And I'd drive across the River Styx. There was three of them.
Yeah.
Oh, three bridges.
Three bridges.
Little bridges besides the big bridge. One on this side and two on that side.
And how would he stand? He'd stand there to keep it from floating.
Well, he'd
floating.
Put some weight on
see,
it.
See, the old little wooden bridges
then
would be a-floating.
He'd been worried
and
about
if you
that
bumped
bridge.
Them, they'd go out
they'd just
scoot
out from under you. Just like bumping a board.
Oh.
Somebody had to hold it down on the ground because it was wired, you know, have it wired to a cypress tree or something like that to keep it from drifting away. But it would float, and I mean, it was on top of the water. And you had to get some weight on it to get it on the ground.
Yes, ma'am.
That water wouldn't be about waist deep.
I know, but your car,
wouldn't
the car
Well, the car, it was, no, it was high, and it was.
Model
T was up there.
High,
it was, had 21-inch wheels on
it. It didn't matter if it went into floorboard.
No, it did. Wouldn't drown that. He would put a piece of pasteboard in front of one of them, like this, in, and let it, like about that much, it go into the ground. Have the water coming over the headlights and just keep going right on. Because it just push the water ahead of it. And as the water would break, see, it would come back behind the motor like that. And it never would roll into the motor. I've done that a lot. Done that lots of times.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
And you had to around in all these lakes. I mean, there was water then.
Right.
There was water all over the
Well, you didn't have your highways wasn't raised up, you know. Yeah, it's just flat.
Highways?
Road.
Heck, didn't even have no highways.
No.
That's right. Not out there in the woods where we lived. I've seen it down there between them two ponds just before you get to the house. You couldn't drive an automobile through it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the water would get to it so deep you couldn't go through
them.
Them
ponds would meet.
Ordinarily.
Run together.
Just ordinarily flat pond you could go across if water wasn't more than waist deep.
In a ford.
That's what it told me sometime about how it used to be back
that
there where
branch,
he used
old
to live.
Damaged branch.
Would it have a Model A?
Would it have a Model T and a Model A too.
And a mule too.
And a mule too. And it takes a mule to keep his cars pulled.
Well, how long did that last like that, about them bridges?
You mean the water and the bridges?
Yeah.
On
up
well,
in
good.
The 30s?
Yeah. It was way on up there. Because, see, at that prairie, the water was running in, and Camp was pumping it out of that prairie over there, down through that canal, and it was coming in, and, you know, that River Styx, the main channel, it goes straight south from the bridge.
You look like you're tired.
And,
I did.
Well, it got stopped up somehow or another, and the water couldn't go through there, so it cut its route way around the woods.
Mm-hmm.
On the edge of the woods, it taken a left turn and cut its way around and made a big bend in there. And that run, that's what we call the run. That is the channel now. The old channel was straight through there. Right straight out across that marsh.
Mm-hmm.
But when that water changed its run and cut its a new channel around the edge of the woods, well, that quit running through that marsh then, and it just growed up.
Well, I didn't think about Payne's Prairie water. Yeah, I can see how.
Yeah, Payne's Prairie come in there. You know, Noonan's Lake come in there.
Yeah.
And then Loch Lucy, all them woods back out there from where Santee River would come in there into Loch Lucy. And it would back your water up into Orange Lake.
Now, what are they there? Is that the property he sold when he moved to where he is now and the fellows busted his gate?
Mm-mm.
Okay. No, that's down.
No, this was way over there next to Rochelle from our place in the woods he lived. And he had, some good property back in there and quite a bit of it.
Well, how'd Woodard get a hold of this little property down here on the Everson Road?
Oh, it belonged to his daddy.
I see. And that's where they busted the gate.
Hmm.
What gate?
I think they just started to get over it, and what happened, it fell down with them.
And they just left it there?
Just left it there.
And he had cows there.
Hmm.
And they didn't say anything to him about it. And didn't fix up his gate.
The cows just got out.
No, ma'am, I think
he found it before the cows got out.
But he wouldn't sell them the property.
Oh.
Well, you know, that's how we happen to be here. She wouldn't sell it to several people. You didn't know Miss Carey much.
Miss who?
Miss Boyle.
No, sir.
She was here from 40 to 60 in round numbers.
From 40 to 60?
A little before 40, in the late 30s.
She kept fierce dogs, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Well, did she live by herself?
She had a husband. I didn't know her. I never saw her.
Oh, don't you know she and
Mag.
Mag, you know. Mag stayed over here so much. And they'd go out all over the country looking for fly shrubs and things.
Mm-hmm.
And hauling wood and all sorts of things. They must have had a time.
They must have did.
Mag was good company.
Did you ever know Mag Jackson?
No, my name.
She was a good company. She just cussed away. Cussing, you know, I don't, you know, that's just, what do you think of as cussing? Just laying it on sick, you know.
I think that's terrible for anybody to do that.
Well, I'm rather fond of it myself.
You mean this Maggie does this?
She used to. When I didn't know her long, you see, she died right. So she wouldn't. She had high blood pressure and she wouldn't take her pills.
Oh, I thought you meant the woman that's living there with the goose.
Yeah, that was Bessie lived with Mag. The two of them lived together when we first came out here.
Oh, Bessie never. She's a lady. Oh, yes. She has fine manners.
I've never even heard Bessie say good gosh.
No.
I always had a feeling that Daisy could cuss a little bit if she got mad enough.
Well, you know, I haven't seen that Daisy in so long.
I haven't.
Oh, that's a terrible thing to hear anybody cuss.
You never heard much of it.
Me?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of it. I feel sorry for them. And I've done some of it myself.
That's
yeah. But it's terrible. We're going to give an account of it.
Well?
We've got to answer.
What I can call cussing is a little different from what I think you're thinking of.
Well, I thought cursing was cursing.
Well, I'm talking about cussing.
Well, it seems sounds different, doesn't it?
That's what I was talking about.
Well, how are you going to handle cows without cussing a little bit, Miss Mary?
Well, that's different.
Different, my foot. I thought you was going to say, how are you going to manage your husband without two kids?
Well, that's it. Well, how are you? Same thing.
How are you going to? Yeah.
Oh, me.
Now, you reckon we better go and let
you. But then you had a Model A, and it would crank better.
Well, we never did on the Model A.
There weren't nothing wrong with
it. You had a car with a rumble seat.
Sure did.
Oh, yeah, that was one of them then.
No, it weren't. It was a 38 V8 Ford Coupe with the rumble seat in the back. That's the car that I had, and I told you to get out of, and you wanted to know what was I going to do, and I told you I was going to beat the hell out of it.
But you didn't.
What was that?
When did that happen this year?
Many years ago.
Was that the same car?
Yeah. Floyd, you know, Floyd and Francis was, Floyd and Clarinella, Floyd and Ella May was sitting right there and her eyes was right that big. Neither one of them ever said a word.
What happened?
I don't remember. I know it had did it have two seats? I know it had one on the outside.
Yeah, well,
it
didn't have but one seat.
On the inside,
uh-huh.
In the cab.
The cab. And they were sitting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And the back of it would come in. It was a curtain back then.
It was not no curtain back then.
That wasn't solid.
It was? It sure was.
The rumble seat just pushed back, opened up, and
yes, ma'am. And
it.
Then it closed back.
Opened the
just like the
on
back
it
end
then.
Of your car.
And you just had a seat back then.
You had a seat back then.
And you were taking, you and y'all were taking a ride?
Okay.
I had Jared Floyd and some of his sisters anyway, Floyd went to see his girl, and the sisters had gone to see the boys. That's why I was carrying them off to court.
Oh, you were?
And Marvin, he smarted. He done some courting, too.
See, Marvin.
Which was all right.
And he had her picture, and we got off in the woods. We was in the woods. And I told him to stop. And he said, "What you want me to stop for?" I said, "I'm going to beat the hell out of you." And he got out.
I don't see how in the world anybody can beat something out of somebody that ain't in them. Do
you? You know I told you that, and I didn't.
Yeah, but I didn't have no hell in me. I know you couldn't beat it out of them if I didn't have it in me.
And Floyd ain't never mentioned that till this day. Ain't nobody never mentioned it but me. But I was mad.
And they haven't brought it up since?
Nobody never said a word about it.
And you made Marvin get out.
I told him to get out of the car, and he said, "What you gonna want me to get out for?" I said, "I'm gonna beat the hell out of you." And we got back in the car and come on home.
Well,
and that settled that.
No, that, yeah, that. You know that man on the television that took the dose to Alka-Seltzer. His wife come in and he felt so bad. And he sat down in the chair and she said, "Well, maybe you need a laxative." And she gave him a dose to medicine and he said, "Well, that settles that."
And his wife come in from visiting with his sister. And he said, "Boy, have I got an upset stomach." Jeez, I don't remember now how that commercial goes, but anyway, he says,
anybody would have an upset stomach from eating your sister's cooking.
Said it's called from eating your sister's cooking. And his wife says, "Well," says, I'll admit she does need a little help. He says, "She needs help. I need help." He was the one who was sick.
She gave him a dose of medicine. He said, "Now that settles." She
gave him a dose of Pepto-Bismol. That's what it is. So he looked around a little while and he said, "Well, now that settles that."
Sometimes they are better than the
other. Absolutely.
Draw life out of them, you know, some of them commercials they come up with.
That little boy, you know, that sits up there and he says, "Ain't Millie sure makes good bread?"
You know about the bread,
and he reached over and got him a. He says, "Even when you can't get the butter." And they passed the butter, and he said, "Please pass the butter." You seen that?
That's on Channel 4.
That's the cutest thing. "Please pass the butter." "Ain't Millie sure makes good?" Advertising butter made bread. Butter made. "Aunt Millie sure makes good bread, even when you can't get the butter."
Miss Mary, you suppose we'll ever be able to make biscuits that taste anything like yours?
Oh, sure.
Anybody
can do that.
We can't even make cornbread. You ought to see what we come up with. Even the horses won't eat it.
Oh, yeah. We had some the other day, and I took it out and tried to give it to the horse over the fence, and they spit it right back out.
Well, he just didn't want anything to eat cooked.
Do you put a little flour in your cornbread? I said you did.
You got to learn to cook because I tell you, he loves to eat.
He likes cooking.
Oh, he gets up in time to eat.
No, you better take it to him.
I won't do that.
Oh, he doesn't even get up to eat.
Sometimes he does. Depends on how hungry he is and how slow they are.
How long does he stay in the bed?
Well, let's see. He only stays out 3 months, so. I mean, 9 months, I guess.
But Clarinelle used to knock around with you all right, smart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the same, isn't it? And you haven't heard from her since you heard from her wearing that white gown like an angel?
Clarinelle? She's
wearing She goes to her sister's every now and then spends a week. She's working in Gainesville, staying with an old lady taking care of her.
Oh, really?
And she goes to duties on the weekends, and she calls me. She was out at the house Christmas.
Well,
it's a shame, though, that them preachers messed her up like they did.
You think it's the preachers?
The preachers told her she had to leave Marlowe.
Preachers and liquor together.
Or get out of the church. Because he'd been married before.
Oh, don't tell me.
And was catfishing.
Why?
Marlowe was sinning because he was catfishing. But they never did tell Marlowe that as long as he was able to send them 10% of what he made. When he got to where the catfish don't bite all the time. And he got to where he couldn't send them no money, then they kicked him out of the church.
And then told her she had to leave him.
And told Marlowe that one or the other of them had to get out. That's right.
Well, now, when did you find out about that?
I found out about it before they separated. And Clarinelle told me about it, and Marlowe told me about it, too. And I said, Marlowe, what did you do? I said, did he get out or did you throw him out? He said, I come almost throwing him out. And I said, well, he'd have been glad to got out. I don't know whether he'd have been able to got out or not if I'd have been in your place.
Why, gee, Willikins.
You let one of the sapsuckers go there at home and tell me that I got to get out.
One of them preachers.
One of them preachers. They ain't gonna mess around with me because I ain't gonna have nothing to do with them.
Well, now that's a particular sort of preacher. That wasn't Methodist and Baptist.
Oh no, that was the Seventh Day Adventist.
I've had no experience with them at all.
Me either. I don't want any.
Not like that.
And they teach her that it's all right for her to drink, get drunk, and stay drunk. And she's not supposed to take a drop of medicine, have a tooth pulled, or do nothing for herself when she gets sick.
Or let nobody do anything for her.
Is she still live like that?
Yes, sir.
Well,
and she was at duties since Christmas, bad off with that flu. And duty told me and Marvin the other night that she couldn't do a thing in the world for her. And said Clarinelle told her that if she got bad off, to not let no doctor come in her room and not send her to no hospital, nobody but her preacher.
Well, she really is way out, ain't she?
I mean out.
That don't run in. And Marlowe couldn't do a thing about it.
Not a thing. He's married again now.
Yeah, and living up in Georgia?
Uh-huh. And expecting a baby, if they haven't already got it.
Yeah.
I got my information through Clarinelle. Marlowe's daughter called Clarinelle and told Clarinelle about it.
Well, she seems to be getting along all right.
Clarence? But she's near about crazy. She's not happy.
Well, I guess that time I saw her is the only time I ever saw you, see, over at your house, and she was, that's when she was, well, she couldn't have been too settling her mind then, because she was over there, she's going to stay with you, and wasn't going to stay with Marlo, but she looked perfectly contented. Talk much. We were sitting there at the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I ever.
But
saw.
I can't put up with those such as that. Mm-mm. I don't go along with it. And her beliefs is not like Marvin's and I. She believes one thing, we believe another. And he's got a poor old brother over there that's hooked too. He belongs to another denomination, and they use him as a slave. Get everything he makes.
I didn't know that happened.
He's another denomination from Clarendale.
Which just pours his money in the church.
That's right. And they see, too, if you get a job, they know where you working and they know what you get. Mm. And you put it in there. And you don't only do that, you put out labor too. Showed a picture the other night about how the church was established and about Joseph Smith being murdered.
Yeah, it was the Mormons and stuff.
And is anybody here Mormon? Mm-hmm.
Well, it wouldn't make no difference. The only thing you're telling is the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
And
Mormon?
Yes, he's a Mormon. And they have fields way up yonder. They showed them in Salt Lake City. And they make the people farm. And like Floyd, if Floyd, he makes so much, they get so much of it.
Oh, they get a tenth of everything you make, regardless.
And they keep up with it.
They keep up with it.
Well, I didn't know Floyd was
a Mormon. Plus, a tenth of your time.
Well, you know, I knew it, but I forgot it.
I'd forgotten it. Well, those Mormons, I know a few of them, they do that. Or else they don't remain Mormons.
They get a tenth of everything you've got. Time, money. And
that time business, that's something. You can't put in your time and save your money.
No, but I mean, you
well, that's the way Clarendale's is. They have to give her, now she had two jobs offered to her, and she was staying with his sister. And one of them was at Keystone Heights, weren't
mm-hmm.
it? And the other was in Gainesville, and this preacher told her she couldn't take that one at Keystone Heights, and Duty said it made her so mad she could have busted open. And she didn't know for sure whether Clarendale that was going to get the other job or not. But this at Keystone Heights didn't offer enough money to suit the preacher, because the preacher had to have his money.
You never went to church with her, Ramsey?
No, sir. Mm-mm. No, sir, I never did.
You sort of had another church going over there, that other church.
At Wednesday.
At Wednesday.
And I don't want to be messed up. I don't want to be, well, I tell you, I don't want no preacher to come to my house and tell me what I got to do and what I haven't got to do, and I don't want them to beg me for no money. Because if I've got any, I'll put it in.
No, but if I got any to give, I'll give with my own free will, and ain't no use for them to dun me for it and say, I owe them this and I owe them that, because I don't. I mean.
Well, now, this fella, when you was over there to see brother, or at least over there at, Cross City, and you stopped back over there at Trenton, was it? Or Newberry?
Newberry.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Now, that's see one of your old preachers,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't know you like that.
Oh, no, that, no, sir.
No, well, he was a Methodist, he was one of that old Methodist preachers.
He was a friend of yours.
Oh.
He never did ask us for any money, and he never did talk about no money that I know of.
No.
The only thing that he ever done, they wanted to get the church house paneled, and we told him that we would panel part of it if the rest of it.
Well, we volunteered that.
And he just got up in the church and told them what we said we'd do. And that's what we done. Of course, we paneled the whole church.
The inside.
The way it worked out. And you done a good, right, smart work.
Martin did.
Marvin, they going to spoil you over that Veterans Hospital. I've never had anyone treat me like that at any hospital.
Well, have you been to the Veterans Hospital?
No.
Well, I've only been that one time. I need to go back, I guess.
But they put out the carpet for you.
It seems so. I've never been treated as good by any doctor. Or any hospital, and I was. I don't know why, but they went right on to work and didn't hesitate. And I hear people talk about going at 6 o'clock in the morning, leave 6 o'clock
that
evening,
back to that hospital
before they could get a doctor.
Test is made.
So
they just found out his older brother Floyd's got it.
Oh, man, I might go back again. It might be altogether
that
different.
That makes three of them that's got it.
No, I wouldn't expect
you're
that.
You're so sleepy.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
But just about to go to
she
sleep.
Like
I'm
she's
not.
She's sleepy. She's wore out.
Maybe she just...
I'm not.
We'll let her wash the dishes.
We better wash her face.
Yeah. With a cold rag.
Yeah. Put some ice water in it. She's sleepy.
Oh, she's night out.
But they tried to find something wrong with me. They couldn't.
They're pretty nice though, aren't they, Mom?
They're just as nice. I wouldn't
they told you to come back whenever you felt like
that's
it.
That's right. Said you come back whenever I felt like coming back. If I didn't have nothing but a headache to come on back.
Well, we have a friend in town who's just had an operation over there, and he said, and he's been in the medical center and also in Alachua General. He said he never saw anything like that Veterans Hospital. He was so pleased.
But, I guess, I don't think I was in there more than an hour in the x-ray and all.
Oh, really?
They didn't do nothing but x-rays old hip.
Well, that's all
and that
hurt. They x-rayed my back.
They did.
Yeah. Hip and back. Because he said that hip was caused from an old back injury.
Well, have you ever had anything like this before?
In my back. I used to have back trouble quite a bit, but I don't anymore.
How'd it do?
He snores
at
night.
It hurt. It just
he snores at night.
Oh,
bend over. Couldn't
yes.
get up. Couldn't
Lord
hardly get
mercy.
Up.
Your back?
Yeah.
Has he always?
Slip a joint or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or
he gets louder
and
louder every time
anymore.
He goes to sleep.
But he used
Miss
to.
Mary, what makes him snore?
I don't know.
No, it's,
I just
right
don't know.
How long at a time?
And he
oh,
declared
yeah.
he was snoring. He'll argue with me. And here you got me up there on the bed just a raising sand.
Now getting it in his elbow, yeah.
Oh, he's
snoring.
That
hip, that give me a fit
they've
sometimes.
Always told me that if you
well,
try to come from to the foot of the bed and stop him, and won't try it.
Alive or dead?
Live. Just catch him, you know, by his foot and tie a string around him.
Marvin, you better be careful.
Watch out.
Well, I'm not afraid of the toad frog. She's one that's afraid of the toad frog. I'm not afraid of that frog.
You'd have to catch it for him.
Yeah. And tie a string around his little foot and tie him to the bedstead post.
No, tell me if you want to put him around your neck.
Well, you can sleep with him in your pocket for what I care.
Well, now, since I've known you, this first ailment I haven't seen you have.
I guess I'd think that Marvin never could, would have an ailment.
Hmm.
Well, I just getting to where I can't take it as good as I used to.
Can't remember you ever had a headache. I guess you did, but I didn't notice it.
Well, you know.
That sure is good.
I had after.
Did you do that?
I don't remember now. It was back in the 60s.
You've been here.
That's 64, let's see, 65, I think, had ulcerated stomach.
No.
Yeah. And I went to this doctor, Noel Keller, and he cured me of that.
How
that's the reason I can't eat cabbage.
How long did that take?
Oh, that took me a long time. That took me...
About 6 months.
Mm. Oh, Lord, help us. Is that right? Mm. Well, you have had things, then.
Yeah, see, but, well, he put me on 3 ounces of milk every hour, and that's all I could have for about 3 days. And then from then, he'd let me have the 3 ounces of milk every hour, plus half of that could be cream.
Yeah.
And 3 times a day, I could have a half a cup of oatmeal after them 3 days.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be on your birthday.
And then for the next 6 months, it was just a regular soft diet.
Yeah.
And that cleared up? That cleared up. But I have to watch what I, you know, eat now.
Yeah.
And,
do you do?
Yeah.
Why do you think you ever have to pay any attention at all?
Yeah, cabbage and then, you know, certain things I can't eat. Not too much pepper. And I can't take too many aspirins.
Yeah.
I tell you what's wrong with his belly. He snores so loud till it's skin up inside.
I've run into people with noisy.
Ooh, you ought to just go spend the night with him some night.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, he's the loudest snore I ever heard in my life.
Well, you know what, you know, I remember I used to hear my mother or somebody say when she snored when she was lying on her back. So you just turn over on your side and you don't snore.
Miss Mary,
is there anything to that?
I don't know.
The trouble with Marvin is he doesn't worry.
I reckon so. But I would just like to know what... Cindy thinks about it.
Yeah.
She knows you don't do that in the daytime.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to know what she thinks he's doing when he's making...
Yeah.
Cindy sleeps with it. Sleeps with it. And
that's right. And I get so tickled at him some nights, so... Oh, I'm telling you, he just tears it up. Why, anybody could be on the place of standing out there between the road and the house, and they'd know where he was at. I don't see how in the world a little fella like him makes as much noise. He don't believe it. But if y'all don't believe it, come spend the night with us.
You mean to tell me you don't snore any?
Well, I don't know, but
no,
I'll
tell you, don't put us in the same room. Let me be in one room and you in the other.
I might snore, but I know I don't snore that loud. How did anybody snore that loud and not wake yourself up?
They can't blame the noise you make.
I wake up. I snore. It just wakes me up right away.
you know, he'll go start off his... You better look at him, he's getting ready. And then's when the team he beats all I ever heard of anybody snoring.
But he tunes up before he gets going, huh?
He gets it too. Boys, I'm telling you, that's the biggest snore I ever heard in my life.
For a little man.
For a little man.
Yeah.
He was a big man, I don't know.
Well, just how loud does it get?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's so loud till it almost runs me out of the house.
But Cindy don't seem to notice.
I don't know what she thinks of me. I just wish you could be there with a tape recorder and record it. I'd like to hear it for you to hear it.
Why don't you get one?
You know, I've been thinking about doing that.
I declare that's outrageous.
It gets a lot more.
See which one of us can snore the loudest.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
See if there's any
he'll
difference
get,
in it.
Oh!
What's he doing, Frank? What?
I'm telling you, that boy can sure do some snoring.
How long that been going on?
That's been going on a long time. The older he gets, the louder he gets. If he lives to be 75, he'll blow his head off. But I do wish it could be recorded and he could hear it. He wouldn't believe it.
Give him a tape recorder for his birthday.
He just wouldn't believe it.
Curtis has got one out bar here.
Yeah, do they?
He'd tell people that was me.
No.
Or Cindy.
I tell you, we'll put it in the room with me one night, and then I'll sleep in another room one night, and you can sleep in
good.
The room. And then we'll mark the tapes.
You know, Marianne's got some tapes made of me. She was telling me, she got me to tell her about my birds, you know, and I was talking to her, telling her about how sweet Skeeter was and what he would say. And when I got through, she says, "You want to hear the... hear your voice." I didn't know she was taping it down.
Who was that?
Marietta, his brother's wife.
Oh, yeah.
We better go.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, the trouble is now, it's been so long, that's why it takes so long over here. We hadn't hardly seen you in a month or two. We don't do nothing. I don't know why it's so hard to get off this place. Constant. Them damned old cows.
Well, it's about the same way at the house. You don't.
And when you get off, you've got to hurry
back. And do this,
just
and do that.
Just got to hurry back and see about the old cows. But I
enjoyed
it.
We're glad you
came. To see about. Well, anyhow, you've got a good warm place to go back to with that new stove.
Well, you all got it nice and warm in here.
Yeah, but it's a little too warm.
Well, that's the way it gets at home. It gets too warm.
You can regulate yours.
Yeah. Well, can't you cut yours down?
Yeah, but if I think about it in time.
Well, y'all come to see us.
Well, we will.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, read along with us and that. Let's hear how she goes. You're upset, Alan.
When I went over to Shirley Dodd's on Thursday, I thought I'd really goofed again.
I just start in the middle, don't
I? I remembered Virgil from the afternoon that Faye and I had stopped by the Bucknight place to see them rack the bait, but he shook my hand limply and offered to shoot a game of pool with me. I said sure, but I'd never played pool before. So Timmy set up the ball, and Virgil showed me how to hold the whatever it is you call the pole. He broke the balls and explained about hitting the white ball and not touching the black eight ball. We played, alternating turns, and every shot, Virgil showed me what to do. He knew how to play pool, that was certain. He told me it was all a game of angles. What I wanted to do was center the pole on the white ball and then move the angle, depending on what ball I wanted to hit and which side of it I wanted to hit.
You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, go on a little later.
We drove across the pasture, and Shirley complained about the mini bike her youngest boys got for Christmas. Timmy was tearing around the pasture on it. She made Virgil stop the truck long enough for her to yell at Timmy to take the bike up to the yard. We stopped for another gate, and Shirley opened it, hopped into the truck, and said, "Step on it, Virgil, or the cows will beat us to the other gate." Sure enough, the whole herd was starting to run after the truck. Virgil floored it, and we flew over the pasture to the final gate, into the rye. Shirley got out and opened it quick. Virgil and I stood by the truck, and he said to me, "White-faced cows is a pretty breed, but look a-there." The cows had stopped and put their heads down and were grazing away, not coming down to the open gate in the rye. "Maybe they see this good green grass," I suggested to Shirley. "No," she told me, "it's Virgil's truck. I should have brought my truck. They know it. They know it, and they don't know Virgil's. That's what it is." She started hollering for the cows. "Here, girl, here, girl." And little by little, they picked up their heads and started down to us. She even got the bull to move, just by calling him. That was moving cattle with your voice. The bull was stuck to the fence in the far pasture because there was a heifer in heat up in the barn. But he came for Shirley. The cows just came tearing through the gate, going so fast they were on two legs. The calves wouldn't come along. They didn't know Shirley's voice yet. Or maybe they weren't interested in the rye. So Shirley said to Virgil, "You want to go behind him and get him started down?" Virgil got into his truck and drove up to the fence to get behind the and drove up the fence to get behind the calves, and then pushed them slowly down, leaning out of the truck to yell at them. He'd worked cattle before. "Virgil is a good boy," Shirley told me while we were waiting for the calves to come. "He's just lonesome, that's all. He comes down here and plays with Johnny like he was Johnny's age. And today, when he took Tina to the bus, he saw Timmy."
Well, now let me tell you, Debbie, that part about that early part there about calling the cows. Now, just tell me about that.
When she called the cows, she stood down.
Same thing you say there. I just want to get to your sentence.
She stood next to the truck and yelled at the cows, and she yelled at them like they were people. She kept saying, "Here."
Now you see the difference, Faye. She's got a written style and a you see and a spoken style. But when she writes, it's not spoken anymore. And she reads this, but she reads it like it's written. Here we drove across the pasture. And Shirley complained about the mini bike that this youngest boy of hers was running around in the pasture. You see, I'm not going to follow any sentence, any written rhythm. And as I write it, I'm not going to write it like that. Timmy was tearing around the pasture on it. You got to stop. She made Virgil stop the truck long enough for her to yell at Timmy to take the bike up to the yard.
You can stop, you see, any time you want to. And we stopped for another gate, and Shirley opened it. He hopped into the truck and said, "Step on it, Virgil, or the cows will beat us to the other gate. There you go.
Virgil floored it, and we flew over the pasture to the final gate into the rye. Shirley got out and opened it quick. Virgil and I stood by.
See, she wants to, she got that urge to keep it going, hadn't she? Where'd she get that, see? Shirley got out and opened it quick. Virgil and I stood by the truck, and he said to me, "White-faced cows is a pretty breed."
This is what. Now, see, I can read it, and it sounds just like spoken English. And this is what Rick said happened when Janos, this writer, had one of his on this reading up at the university the other night, and they had the Baroque ensemble to play too with it. And he had some woman, he doesn't speak too good English, he's Austrian, read his two stories. And Rick said it was unbearable. She couldn't read. You know, she just couldn't read. She just read it straight. And Rick says after hearing this spoken English out here, he could hardly, and the story was good. But Rick was just pulling his hair. He I think he only listened to about half of it. Beyonce is one of his friends. But that was the point. That was what he was talking about.
What's happening? You know, I didn't notice it. You see, I've listened to so much of the spoken English and worked with it, and that's the only way. And I can see now, you see, that professional people don't, there's not, you could hardly call it spoken English anymore. They speak written English. They speak written English. Now you don't speak written English, but most of them do. Why is this right? Right. You can't write spoken English unless you can hear it. But you hear theirs. What are you going to do? Convert it into written English?
And when she tells it, she...
That's nice. That's the closest you've come to it. I think it's because you're tired. I don't know, Debbie. It's your turn.
Yeah. But Rip will tell you. That's when the thing came to him.
That's probably what it was then, with the marker. Just peeled, laughing. Waiting to go out to the trailer, because I didn't want to get Rick up too early, you know? He's gone.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it. I didn't notice that his car was gone. I didn't notice the thing. I just noticed that the curtains were down, and if he's awake, they're up. So I noticed they were down, so I just stayed out there and talked to the cab, because I didn't want to go in. And finally I went in and he wasn't in bed. I'm so dumb. Oh well.
Now you ought to just stay out there with your friends all morning.
What I'm gonna do. It's beautiful this morning. Well, I have a couple little things to do. I'm going in town this evening, so.
But you're not going this morning. You could stay out there this morning. What do you have to do? A couple of things.
Well, I haven't even looked at that fantabulous scrapbook yet. I mean, hell, I was writing on, what's his name? Virgil. You took my scrapbook time yesterday.
You took it yourself. We're writing the French.
Oh, that was free time. That was before 8 o'clock in the morning. That's free time.
And after 8 o'clock at night.
And after 8 o'clock at night, that's free time. If I get up before 7, I get to write letters in French.
Oh,
through it this morning, and oh, this afternoon. I looked through it. I got this grant proposal to offer staff. Don't tell you about it this morning, I know.
No, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get it in shape so you can mail it when you go in.
Oh, shoot. I'll tell you what I'm going to do as soon as I get out of this kitchen. I'm going outside. I'm going around in those woods.
Let me see, Debbie. Did you put that
go on, say it. What? I'm waiting.
She wouldn't say what little bird that was last night. Do you know which bird it was?
Little bird told me. Oh, when she pulls her head back and laughs, she goes, I can't do it.
Well, practice it.
I thought my sides hurt so much after that snoring business last night. Honk, honk. I know the question. And then Rick kept saying, is that all he did, Miss Mary? It's really funny on the tape. Rick's popping in there all the time. Is that all he did, Miss Mary? And then she goes, oh, boy.
What she must be is the way she pulls down that sweater in front and comes higher and higher in the back. And she'll turn her head like that way around, you know, before she starts to say something.
And then she kind of goes out like this in her mouth and then draws in, gets ready to talk. Have you ever noticed that?
No.
The way she does her mouth?
You ought to be over there this morning. Sunday morning is a picnic over there, you see. She's in the kitchen performing right now.
I bet they're talking about us.
You know they are. And it finally came out that Virgil had dinner with them the week before.
Oh, he just goes to bed. It must be, well, it's 3 months of the year he's up. It must be 9 months in bed. They take him his meals in bed. That was so funny. Oh, gosh, you look at him and you can tell him how it comes out to hear.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Oh, he's immense. He's immense. He's got a beer belly, I call it a beer belly. He's not fat, except his stomach just starts here and comes out like this. Just hangs. He can't tuck his shirt in.
Well, you didn't say anything about that. How's he going to play pool with that?
It's the best way. You rest your stomach on the pool table and you don't move.
Yeah, that's a cue stick.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought it was a cue.
Yeah.
Marvin was Judy sat back and he said, one thing about it, he wasn't going to tell.
What the little bird was.
Said. Meaning I know, but I'm not going to tell.
I just never seen anything like Marvin either. He sat there and took all that last night from Miss Mary.
He goes along with her and helps her out.
Just sat there holding his face like this. I'm serious. Oh.
Amazing.
Suzanne was the one that found out about the car with the rumble seat.
Yeah.
Marvin.
That was the day the salesman came.
That's the first time I ever about the dog.
Mm. He knew exactly. Exactly how many days after the dog bit the colt? I see Miss Mary with that dog taking her hand. Spot, ain't you ashamed of yourself, she said. And you know, one thing they do, they do not gush over an invitation. Now, most anybody, if you go and, I mean, in people that I, in my world, you go and you say, come and have dessert. Oh, we'd be delighted, and they talk for 10 minutes about that. Well, I went in yesterday and I said, we want you to come and have dessert. We've been trying to get you on the telephone and we couldn't, and here I am, the telephone. And Miss Mary took up the telephone. Yes, we'll come. Oh, but our telephone's working. And talked about the telephone. Never said anything else about coming. And when I got back in the car, I thought, now, are they coming or not? Marvin was the same way. Uh-huh. They talked about the fact that they had just gotten a telephone call from Gainesville, and it wasn't their phone, it was your phone. That something was wrong with.
Most of the time, they'll say, "Well, we're busy. We might get over there."
Well, I think it's
fabulous the way they go along with Louise Graham's boy. What's his name?
Andrew.
Yes.
It was outside the window, not in front of the door. That tombstone.
Her bedroom window.
Huh? I remembered the bedroom, but I thought it was in the house. I thought he brought it in the house. And taking the rocks from the cemetery and throwing them in that man's yard. Is he loony?
No, he's not loony. He's mean.
No.
I mean, he's mean from way back.
He means it.
Mm.
Oh, yes, he is. People don't mess with Andrew. The deputies went over there one time to straighten him out, and he left. They left in a hurry. Of course, they all know him. And then I mean, if it's a strange deputy and he'd take it seriously, it'd be something different. They all know him. But he is mean. I wouldn't mess with him.
His mama's got all this money, and he knows, you know, these people.
She didn't have it since, you know, she got it through interstate.
Oh, selling to Ivan.
Yeah. Now she's burned. She was at Miss Mary's wedding. She's over here one time. She told about it. And she told about it. You talk about gusto. Everything that happened at that wedding was just outlandish.
She planned it.
She planned it.
I'd love to have been a Miss Mary and Marvin's wedding.
Got it on tape, what Louise said about it. And it's rich. And it's not near as free and easy as it would be if you're talking to somebody else, because she didn't know me much. That well. Now, you see what? What holds me down? I can't go where I can't take the tape. Now, I have to have a little tape, just a little bit. And I used to go over there. I went over there a lot when she was having that Western music or gospel singing over at her house. That's where she married. And it was just too rich. That's all there was to it. It was just too rich. Now you could go over there, you see. Or you could talk to Louise Graham. And there's no end of what you'd get, just like Miss Mary. Now she has that open, effervescent manner. She has it of the old world. She does. Well, she did the last time I saw her. And I'll bet you she still got it down at that river house on the Swanee. I bet you she has. And if Miss Mary would just take you with her down there. Hey, you would really see some.
That's right.
I see what you see in that is not just an individual or some you know, just something that happened, but that's an old way of life.
Mm-hmm.
That we're leaving for this Freudian sort of world we live in. It's not near as much fun as that one. Not near as much fun. And you see what people say who've lived in it, you see, may not represent it, because they may not have seen it even though they were in it. The most insight I've had is since 4 of 68, you might say, since I got a little toehold in it. Now you could read Faulkner to see what he saw in it. A lot of the things he puts in those books is ENC. It's nothing. It's just words. You don't know what he saw. Are you willing to say he made contracts with them foxes under the bed?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the dog.
But you could, a lot of times he didn't. Well, you couldn't check upon him too closely, but you could read him with that in mind. And you certainly could isolate a whole lot of useless rhetoric.
You know, we were just saying the other day, how does anybody turn the television on and just leave it on? They do all the time, you know, even our friends. Some of them, and the commercials come and go and come and go. And they turn it on and leave it on and just enjoy the commercials. And they're the things that they quote.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw that. Doesn't bother me.
That's the boom that was going to fall 10 minutes ago.
That's right, just now fell.
One mistake you made was coming in.
It's your own fault.
Now, this is something I don't know, Danny. See, after the fall of 68, when I got a toehold in this, I learned to live with these things. Just as I would, you see, in order to get into Emerson, I had to do the same thing. It wasn't in the books. And I kind of lived it. And then you see, you bring all everything you see to bear on it. And I got a half a dozen of Emerson's essays, and that's all I know. Oh, I could talk sort of superficially about some of the others, but that I have a feeling for them. But now, I don't know how far back I did that. But you see, now, the greatest pleasure I could have is with this tape. And I could just work on it for a week. Just work on it solid. All I'd have to do is come up for air every now and then. So you work out a little method. It doesn't work with Miss Mary so much. Sometimes it does. Miss Daisy was the one. But Miss Daisy's would build up. But I couldn't see it build up until I looked back at the tape. And then I could make something of what seemingly was a rather commonplace visit. It was right there. But now, anyway you take it, if you live with a tape, and that's really better, you see, than just your own senses. Just your own, like your visit with Shirley. You can't look at that again too much. Maybe you can, but it maybe you could put it down. I've done that. I've taken a half hour, an hour visit, and I put it all down. I get the connections. The transitions is the most helpful thing. Last night, Marvin knew how we come to talk about the hurricane waters being up. That's the hardest thing to, if I could keep the transitions, I can fill in. Well, anyhow, you look at the whole tape and see the direction of it. Now, you see, I've done that so much on tapes, I can do it just in talking. I just normally do it. Subconsciously, you don't do it on purpose. And I don't know anything will quite take the place of it. It's just quiet, sustained. You project into that world. Now you see what the one thing that's unnatural now is that I push you a little bit. I've got to get a few things down. Well, it's not pushing you too much. But anyhow, it's coming from me. If you did it, it was in your own time. It comes from the subject. Where you're not pressed to remember what you have on the tape. There's just no end of what you can see in that. It's just phenomenal. Now, you know, as much as I've talked with them, last night is the clearest I ever got that road in front of the house. It was a 50-foot right of the way, and it wasn't even graded. It was flat. And the WPA took out the trees, but it didn't grade it. So up until the WPA, that in the late 30s, they were just a little winding road through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it might have been a little straighter. But it wasn't straight even after I got out of here in the early 60s. That's it. I guess that's the first I saw it. Now look what it is, you see. Now there's one thing, you see, in Congress they can't touch. That's the highway fund. And they don't put those highways through the River Styx in front of Miss Mary's for their accommodation. They do it because there's money in it. Mm-hmm. And they just gonna put highways to where there won't be any footpaths left. So
So you get into the social side of it, political side of it. And eventually, whatever you do winds up in that political side. Well, Nita. But you see, you don't have to look, have a long face about it. You can still do something about it. Do the best you can. You don't have to have a long face. Well, I've spent a month, 2 months solid doing nothing but that. All my time I'd put in on things like that. Solid. I did it for mail because I do better for mail than I do in person. And whatever was going on out here, I'd drop it. Just let it ride. I'd get the letters off. Canal or anything like that, but it was part of it.